The Lord tells us that our goal is to reach the highest, become one with the Self, the Om, the Atman, the Lord within, and reach that state of self-realization, God-realization. That is the message of the entire Bhagavad Gita and also the Upanishads. And we find it quite difficult. How am I to do that? It seems very tough. How am I to reach this highest goal of enlightenment? We feel we are just beginners. It's like somebody has just started climbing little hills, and then they tell him, you know what, you need to climb Mount Whitney, you need to go to the higher mountains, Kilimanjaro. And he said, how am I to do that? It's so difficult. And then somebody says, Mount Everest, not going to happen in this lifetime. So same way we feel about spiritual enlightenment, but the Lord says that you have to start. Start right now, start in this life, start from today itself, that this is my goal. And wherever you have progressed, that's good. If you reach enlightenment in this lifetime, it happens. A lot of great people have done it. If it does, good. If not, wherever I have reached in my next life, it will continue. So the effort is not wasted. And in the second chapter, so far, the Bhagwan has given us the preliminary steps. He's going to talk about Karma Yoga, but before Karma Yoga, he says, he glorifies the path of Karma Yoga. Svalpamapyasya karmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little bit of effort in this direction, serving, helping, protects us from great fear. And then he tells us, vyavasayatmika buddhi. You should have your goal clear, and then your intellect should be firmly established. Dhila dhala, you know, Swami Tejo Mayananda ji calls it pajama personality. You know, which is, you know, in pajamas, the loose ones. We should not be like that. You should be firm. Okay, this is my goal. This is my... And in any field in life, if you want to be a successful engineer or a successful lawyer or a businessman or a teacher, whatever you have to do, you have to have a determined goal. But in spirituality, we feel that it's okay, you know, 5 minutes in the morning and 1 hour on the weekends. So vyavasayatmika buddhi, Bhagwan says, and be focused. It's like Monday to Friday, we have a goal, right? Okay, I get up in the morning, I meditate for a while, then I take a shower, have my breakfast, go to work at 7:30 or 8, spend the whole day, come home, have a cup of tea, then maybe relax for a little while, have dinner, read, and go to sleep. So my day is all organized, Monday to Friday. It's vyavasayatmika buddhi. It is external because of work. But on Saturday, what do? Get up first of all, instead of 6 o'clock, get up at 8 or 9. And then slowly saunter out of bed. And then, okay, now what should I do? You know, don't know. Maybe I should have a cup of tea. And then somehow around 10 or 11, we have breakfast. Till 1 o'clock, we are roaming around in the pajamas, haven't taken a bath. And soon, whole day is gone. You know, by 3, 4 o'clock, I have done nothing. Why? Bahu shakha anantascha. There is no vyavasayatmika buddhi. So that has to be our goal in life, that we have to be focused. And only then will we succeed. Then the Lord talks to us about karmas. The rituals that are done. Rituals are very important. They help in our spiritual growth. They help to quieten the mind and get it ready for knowledge, get it ready for meditation, get it ready for enlightenment. But a lot of people use rituals just for bhogaishvarya prasakta nam taya prita chetasam. So they do rituals, why? So I may get more bhoga and more aishvarya. I may get more power, I may get more pleasure. And so there, these people, where do they end up? In heaven. Okay, but then they have to come back and continue their journey. So rituals also should be done with a clear understanding of why we are doing it. So today's two verses will get us ready for Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, of course, is a very important aspect of Gita. The entire third chapter is given to it, but there are few verses devoted to Karma Yoga. But today we'll do two more preparatory verses. So let's do verse number 45. त्रैगुण्य विषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्थः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् This actually is a very, very power-packed verses. There are actually six ideas in this one verse. So we'll probably take a lot of time because there are most verses have maybe one or two ideas, but here Bhagwan has thrown six ideas at us. And so we'll try to cover them as best as I can. So he says, Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha. Veda means the Vedas. But here, when he's talking about Vedas, he's still talking about the Brahmana, the ritualistic portion, which we had talked in the past three verses, 42, 43, 44, we did last week. So here he's talking about the Vedas, especially the ritualistic portion, Traigunya Vishaya. What is the topic of those Vedas? Three gunas. And we'll talk about the three gunas in detail. So he says, first is, this Veda has details with the gunas. Nis trai gunyo bhava Arjuna. Arjuna, the straight one. Arjuna comes from Arjavam, straight person who did what he said and kept his word. So Arjuna bhava nis trai gunya. Go beyond these three gunas. So go without those three gunas. Ni means not having those three gunas or beyond the three gunas. That's what you have to do. And how do I do that? Arjuna asks. So nirdvandva, beyond the pair of opposites. Dvandva means two. So nirdvandva means no two. So in life there will be two things, pairs of opposites. So go beyond that. Nitya sattvastha, and always nitya sattvastha, sattva, remain in sattva. Nir yoga kshema. Do not have yoga or kshema. Do not have anxiety. For yoga is to get what I don't have. And kshema is to preserve what I have acquired. So do not have anxiety to acquire or to preserve. And then the sixth concept is be atmavan. Be established in the self. So six ideas. The world is made of gunas. You need to go beyond gunas. How? Beyond pairs of opposites, always established in sattva, beyond yoga kshema, and established in the self. Each one of those ideas is an independent topic by itself. So let us spend a little time talking about it. So he says the Vedas consist of the three gunas. Not only that, our mind also consists of three gunas. Even our self, we are made of three gunas. In fact, the entire universe is made of three gunas. So what are the three gunas that our mind is made of and that our personality is? The three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Tamas is ignorance, darkness, ignorance, laziness. Rajas is passion, agitation, activity. And sattva is purity, knowledge, light. So, tamas is the lowest, ignorance. Then comes rajas, activity, and sattva is purity. So, he says, go beyond three gunas. How can I go beyond? My whole mind is constituted of gunas, like Gurudev in his commentary gives the example. Suppose somebody brings you a cup of tea, which is made of tea, milk, water and sugar, and it says from this cup of tea remove the tea leaves, remove the water, remove the sugar, remove the milk. Nothing will be left, right? It will be empty. So if from this world, if I remove gunas, the world will become empty. So this reminds me of a little story. So this villager who had never ever gone to the city goes to the city and goes to this very fancy restaurant. Sits down at the table. He asks the waiter to bring him a cup of tea. So the waiter, you know, as happens in fancy restaurants, they bring a cup and a saucer, then tea leaves, hot water, milk and sugar. And so the villager has to put the leaf, put hot water, put milk, sugar, and drink it. And then the waiter says, "Anything else I can bring you, sir?" So I'll say it in Hindi first and then translate. He says, "Khane to pakode the, par mujhe dar laga tu kadai, tel, besan, namak aur mirchi le aayega." He says, "I wanted to eat fritters, but I was scared. What you're going to do? You're going to bring a frying pan and oil and salt, pepper and besan and ask me to make it. So sorry, I know." So the point is that in life also, we cannot remove the three gunas. You cannot, going beyond gunas does not mean that you go beyond the three. In fact, the three gunas are an integral part of our personality. As we wake up in the morning, if our mind is peaceful and if we do some meditation or some prayer or remember the Lord, we are in sattva. Then we get up, get ready, go to work, and then all day we are working, busy. We are in rajas. And then at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. I just want to sleep. So that is tamas and that is normal. But then there are certain individuals who are predominantly tamasic. They are just don't do anything. You know, people who are on welfare or people who are on alcohol or drugs or, you know, criminals, gangsters. Their life is all tamas. You know, they're basically parasites upon society, live for others to take care of them. And then the majority of us are rajasic, where we want to work, we want to accomplish, and that is good. But the scriptures tell us that rajas should be accompanied by sattva, should be accompanied by purity, accompanied by right knowledge, accompanied by right vision, right understanding. So my goal only should not be selfishness, but sharing, giving, and ultimately getting the right knowledge. So how do I go from tamas to rajas to sattva? That is the goal of human birth. As I said, some amount of sattva, rajas and tamas we all have, but predominantly my life should be sattvic. That is the goal. Even when I'm working in the world, I should have a sattvic vision. So let's talk about that. So what is tamas? Tamas is like a stone sitting on the side. As for a stone, it's okay to be tamasic, that is its nature. But for a human being to just sit and do nothing, and some people, you know, they may be very wealthy, but their life is just sit and relax, enjoy, don't need to work, I have so much money, let my servants take care. So then they are also tamasic. You may be very wealthy, you may be very successful, but if you are not doing anything to contribute to the world, you are a tamasic individual. So tamasic people are the ones who are, they call as well-adjusted. Well-adjusted means whatever it is, I'm fine with it. They do not make any attempt to change themselves or change the world. And that is what creates a lot of problems. But a person who has a higher vision is not adjusting to evil. If you adjust to evil, then that is tamasic. If there is some evil going on and you don't do anything to fix it, correct it or change it, that is tamasic. Like in our freedom struggle, you know, when we were under the British rule, we have example of like Subhash Chandra Bose. He raised the whole army to fight against the British. Lokmanya Tilak, you know, he went to jail for his principle. Kalapani, the worst black hole of Calcutta where he was put in the jail. And even in that jail, he wrote Gita Rahasya, a beautiful text or commentary on Gita. Bhagat Singh, who gave up his life. Of course, Gandhiji we know about. So the point is that these individuals did not adjust to evil. And if there is something wrong going on, and if you do not oppose it, that is tamasic. Same way people say, why should I vote? No, when there is a cause you believe in, something is wrong, you have to go and vote. You say, oh, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter out of so many million. No, it is my duty to raise my voice, maybe write a letter to the editor or get a group together. So adjustment to evil is tamasic. So how do we go from tamas to rajas? So one of the characteristics of tamas is procrastination, what they call dirghasutri. Mañana, you know, in Spanish they have a beautiful word, mañana. Anything you tell them to do, mañana. I'll do it tomorrow. So procrastinating or putting off is one of the characteristics of tamas. There's a very beautiful saying. I think I told it a few years back. It's worth repeating. So in Hindi, you know, they say, kal kare so aaj kar. I'll translate. First say it in Hindi. It says, kal kare so aaj kar, aaj kare so ab. Pal mein parlay hoegi, phir karega kab. He says, what you have to do tomorrow, do today. What you have to do today, do it now. Because you don't know when your life will end and then your work will be left unfinished. So do whatever you have to do promptly. But the procrastinator has the alternate. He says, aaj kare so kal kar, kal kare so parso, itni bhi jaldi kya hai, jina to hai barso. He says, what you need to do today, do tomorrow. And tomorrow, do it day after. What is the rush? You know, we are going to live many years. So that is a typical tamasic person, procrastinator. But a rajasic person says, no, I have to do it. I have to do it right now. So they do not leave work for the next day. Whatever work has to be done has to be finished today. And then only if such a person is successful. If you procrastinate today's work, you do tomorrow, then tomorrow's day after, and soon it starts accumulating. And before you know it, you have a pile of files on your desk or unfinished paperwork. So promptness, do it properly. The second characteristic of Rajas is doing with concentration. What we find is that person who is tamasic very quickly gets bored. He will start with enthusiasm. You know, I have to do this, I have to do that. And half an hour later, I'm bored, I'm tired. You know, kids also, I'm bored, you know, I don't want to. And they just shrug their shoulders. Why didn't you do it? You know, that is tamas. I'm bored. I just didn't feel like doing it. So if you want to have the work done with Rajas, you have to do it with concentration. Either don't take up a project. If you take it up, do it 100%. If you say I'm going to do it, put 100% of your effort, not 99, not 99.5, but complete work with full concentration. Then and then only your job will be successful. Otherwise, if we do a half-hearted effort, it's okay, it's not that. Especially when it comes to community service. See, our own work, when it comes to making money or doing work, we are very efficient. But when it comes to doing community service or helping, it's okay. You know, I'm tired today. Today is hot. Today is too cold. I promised my friend I'll go help him. Maybe, you know, pick up trash from the streets or build a house or serve food to the homeless. So these opportunities, we very quickly find excuses not to do. So whatever you have decided, do it with full concentration. So that is how you go from tamas to rajas. How do we go from rajas to sattva? And that is the most important aspect of what we should do. So they say, what are the characteristics of sattva? Let us see. So one of the characteristics of sattva is friendship, love, compassion, forgiveness. The ability to forgive and be calm under all situations, to be loving and compassionate. There's the story, there was this man who wrote a book, The Art of Forgiveness. And he wrote that book and he published it. And so one author, reviewer in the newspaper wrote a very nasty article, useless book, not worth reading. So he got so mad, he went and started shouting at the guy who wrote the review. It looked like he hadn't read his own book. So forgiveness has to be in all our actions. You cannot preach forgiveness and then yourself get angry and start fighting. It's that person's opinion. You know, he's a reviewer. If he didn't like the book, that is his opinion. You should not get yourself disturbed. So always being calm, always being peaceful, always being loving, compassionate, forgiving. So these are the attributes of sattva. Of course, then the other attributes are having the right vision. What is my goal in life? What is my purpose? And keeping that goal constantly, and the goal obviously should be a higher goal, you know, higher goal beyond me, my and my family and my wealth and my property. How can I make this nation a better nation? How can I make my city a better city? How can I make my community a better community? How can I make this earth a better planet? So the vision has to be clear, and every action should be with that right vision. And where does that vision come from? Where does that understanding come from? From the scriptures, from the gurus. So learning from the scriptures, learning from the wise people that we come in contact with, then work with the right vision, the right goal, and the goal should be higher goal, not limited to me and myself and my family. I and my should be reduced, and more it should be we and us, ours. And with the right vision, when you work, then automatically good things happen. You know, then you start meditating, then you start serving the world, then you become more peaceful as you meditate, as you serve, your agitations reduce, because tamas is ignorance and rajas is agitation. So as you keep your mind more and more in sattva, more and more established in sattva, automatically your ignorance reduces. Automatically the agitation reduces. If you have seen some of these Mahatmas who have come here, and when you sit in their presence, Vimalji or Swami Ishwarananji or Swami Bodhatmananda, all of those who whom we have met, Swami Tejomayananda, they are the epitome of calmness. Even some of the pastors, Barbara, who I think has moved, but she at the Center for Spiritual Learning, if you sit in her presence, such a calm and peaceful, such a sweet individual, always smiling. So that is sattva, the ability to connect with people, the ability to remain peaceful and to radiate peacefulness. So when you come in contact with such people, you get more peaceful. But part of the problem with rajas can be, especially if you're doing a lot of meditation, then what happens is you get a tremendous amount of energy, and meditation generates energy. And this energy, where do you channel it? Are you going to channel it in overwork? Some people, when they have more energy, they work harder. So they work all day, morning to night, take their files home, and you know, in the living room they have the files, and then in their bedroom, and then they sleep with the work next to them, wake up with the work. That's not the idea. When you have more energy, it should be used in serving others, in helping others. So that is where this energy should be used. So the tamas to rajas to sattva will generate a tremendous amount of energy. It is up to us how to use it. So that is called going beyond three gunas. We'll talk a little more afterwards. Then he says, nirdvandva, go beyond the pair of opposites. We have talked about that many times, so I won't go into much detail. But at the body level, we have heat and cold, health and ill health. At the mind, we have joy and sorrow. At the intellect, success and failure. So this will come to everybody. Nobody is beyond it. There will always, they are like two sides of the same coin. Swami Vivekananda says it very beautifully. He said in one place, he said, if what people think, this world should be rid of all evil people, and there should be only good people, and then there will be joy and peace in the world. He says that's like thinking that there should be only daytime, there should never be night. No, there will be daytime, there will be night, there will be good people, there will be bad people. It is impossible to eradicate evil from the world. Okay, then why should I work? If I cannot eradicate evil, what is the use of working? Then I might as well sit home and be in tamas. No, the reason to work is because there is a balance of 50-50. How is the world sustained? Because there are enough good people to offset the evil. But if good people stop working, then what happens? The balance will shift and the evil will predominate. So it is our duty to do our part, to make sure that I do enough good to offset whatever evil is going on. I cannot eradicate evil, but at least I can do my part to maintain the balance. So that is the idea of going beyond a pair of opposites. In life, there will be problems, but take care of the problems if you can. If not, just cheerfully bear them and continue to do what you're doing unaffected. And how to remain unaffected, we'll talk at the end. But the point is that in life, problems will come. are you going to let the problem take you over, or are you going to overcome the problem? So that is called being going beyond pairs of opposites, remaining calm and unaffected. Then he says, go beyond yoga kshema. Nitya sattva stha, we talked about it, how to remain always in sattva, always with the right vision. And then he says, go beyond yoga kshema, get and preserve. Yoga, of course, yoga has many meanings. The common meaning is exercise, but yoga actually means to unite. So here, when Gita, when they use the word yoga, the mean is to get. Of course, yoga also mean, you can mean to get the Lord, but in the world, yoga is, I get something I do not have. I did not have a house, so I bought a house. I did not have a spouse, I got a spouse. I did not have a child, I got a child. So that is called yoga, getting. And then kshema is to maintain. So when I get something, then obviously I need to maintain it. So the example is January. So that's the first thing. Everybody makes a resolution that this year I'm going to lose weight. So from January 1st, they decide this is my New Year's resolution. And with lot of effort, by February 31st, I lose 10 pounds. So that is called yoga. I accomplish my goal of losing 10 pounds. But then from February to December, I have to maintain it. And that's the struggle, right? Even half a pound goes up, I get worried. So that is yoga, is getting the weight loss and then how to maintain it. Or same thing, status. You know, you become a president, or you become a leader, or you become a CEO. That is called yoga. I got that. Now, how to maintain it? There are so many people competing with me, so many people wanting to take over my job. The CEO is always worried because the vice president, you know, he's going to the board of directors, talking behind my back. So all this politics. So I get the position and status, but then maintenance is another issue. Relationships, you know, friend. You get a friend, that's very good. You have lots of friends. And then you are worried, you know, it's his birthday. So I have to send him a message on Facebook. And then if he didn't send a message on my birthday, I am so angry, I'm so depressed. And then he puts a post, and then I have to put like. And then, because if I put like, then when I put a post, how many likes? So our whole life is bent in on all this. You know, we waste so much time in liking this and this. So to acquire a friend is good, but if he's truly a friend, he will understand. If he didn't wish me on my birthday, I understand. It's okay. He still is close to me. But no, I not only have to get it, but I have to maintain it. So that is the problem in everything. To get is easy, to maintain is difficult. So what Bhagwan says is, give up this anxiety of getting and maintaining, getting and, so does that mean I shouldn't work, I should not become CEO? No, do whatever you have to do, but do not have an inner disturbance. Do not let your happiness be dependent upon, I got a status, very good. Tomorrow I don't have it, I'm still fine. Today somebody is my friend, very good. Tomorrow he said, I don't want to, okay, I'm still fine. So the ability to remain calm, I work. It's not that we said we're not promoting laziness. You have to go from tamas to rajas and from rajas to sattva. But internally, the mind should remain calm under all situations. And we find that is very difficult. How can I remain always in sattva, and how can I keep my mind calm, you know, when things are not going well and problems are there? Stock market was doing so well and in 2 days lost 1,000 points. And, you know, some people actually commit suicide when this happens, because they play on this margin and I don't know all that. But suddenly their whole wealth gets wiped out and people have known to shoot themselves or go into major depression. But the point of the matter is that in the world, things, one day the market will be up and one day the market will be down. You cannot, that's something beyond your control. You do your best, and then whatever is in my control, I do. Whatever is not, I accept it. But we find that is very difficult. And to be always in sattva, very difficult. How am I to be in sattva? What is Can you tell us a little bit more about what is sattva? So Bhagwan in the Gita, another place, he says it very beautifully. He says, pravrittin cha nivrittin cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandha moksham chataveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. So who is a sattvic person who knows what is pravritti and what is nivritti? Pravritti means to get involved, nivritti means to withdraw. So we should know where I should get involved and where I should withdraw. Where is important to put my effort and where not to put. We have to conserve our energy because we all have 24 hours. We only have limited amount of time on this earth. We don't know when the end will come, you know, and even if it's 70 or 80 or 90, but still, I need to conserve my energy. So do not waste it in useless things, just unnecessarily spending time on the internet, unnecessarily talking to people, and conserve your energy. Then he says, pravrittin cha nivrittin cha karya karya bhaya bhaye, and what I should be afraid to do and what I should not be afraid to do. So if there is something wrong, I should be afraid, I should not do it, and something good, I should be fearless. Even if there are problems, even if there are obstacles, I will do it. So being fearless in good things and having fear in doing wrong things. A lot of people are the opposite. When they're doing the wrong things, they just go ahead and do it. But when it comes to doing the right thing, they are take so. Karya, karya, bhaya, bhaye, bandham, moksham, chaya, veti. And the sattvic person knows what will bind me and what will free me, what will keep me down and what will elevate me upwards. So that understanding in the Gita, Bhagavan says, urdhvam gacchanti sattvastah madhye tishthanti rajasah adho gacchanti tamasah. So the sattvic people go upward, rajasic stay the same, tamasic go down. So what we mean is, suppose you have lived a tamasic life, you know, selfish, exploiting people. Then what will happen? Next life, you will be, first of all, this life will be miserable. You will pay for the consequences of your actions. But also, you will be born in the next life in a lower yoni. You will be born as a buffalo or a dog or a mosquito or some lower species. How about if you have lived a life of rajas? Then you will be born again as a human, the same kind of. You will remain the same, maybe a slightly better human or worse human, depending on your quota, you know, whatever your percentage of good or bad actions are. But if you have lived a predominantly sattvic life, then you will be not only go to heaven, but you will continue your spiritual journey. Either you will be born in the house of yogis, where you will be from childhood taught, or you will actually go to the Brahma Loka, where the Brahmaji himself will teach you. So that is the goal of life. And he says, how to do it? It sounds very difficult. So Bhagavan answers it very beautifully. He says, Atmavan, be established in the self. Be established in the Lord. Always keep your mind in the Lord and go beyond all these, my vasanas, my agitations, all my acquiring, possessing, pair of opposites can only happen if you are established in the Lord, thinking about the Lord, working for the Lord, always remembering the Lord, and have every opportunity to have love and gratitude for Lord. As we have said, develop a relationship. And you can take, how do we make opportunities? Have a picture of the Lord on your desk. Have it on the dashboard of your car. Wallpaper on your phone, have a picture of the Lord. So the moment you turn on the phone, you see that. And whatever your Ishta Devta is, whether it's Ganpati or Shiva or Krishna, and then every month change that. Krishna, if you have one picture of Krishna, every month change it. The same Krishna, you can keep Krishna, but keep changing. If you go on images of Krishna to Google, you will find about 200. If you have Jesus, then again, Jesus, there'll be hundreds of images because your mind gets used to it. So when you change it, oh, again, it reminds you. That's what I do in my phone. Try to have a picture of the Lord, but change it periodically. Keep the same Lord, but change the color or change the picture so that whenever you turn on the phone. And see the Lord in the people, you know, see Lord in everybody. Everybody is God incarnate. Everybody is that, you know, all the trees have love for trees, birds, plants, animals, fish. So constantly being established, and then through meditation, through study, and through prayer, you come to experience the divinity within. And without that, you cannot go beyond these pairs of opposites, cannot go beyond the vasanas, because our vasanas, our desires are so strong. Only way to get rid of them is to connect with the Lord. There's another very beautiful verse in the second chapter. Bhagavan will go into more detail later on, but he says, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So he says that suppose you have some bad habit, whether it's smoking or drinking or eating or too much shopping or too much greediness or desire, for whatever. It could be jewelry, could be clothes, could be money, could be house, could be position, power, but whatever, I have this strong desire, say, I should not do this, you know, I should give up this desire. So you give it up. Okay, from tomorrow I'm not going to go to the shopping mall, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. But inside, rasavarjam, even though vishaya, the objects are gone, but the rasa is still there. The desire, the taste for it is still there. So how do I go beyond it? Rasavarjam rasopya asya param drishtva nivartate. When you see the Lord, when you experience the Lord, that is the only way to get rid of the vasanas. So how do you visualize the Lord? As we said, you know, through all these techniques, through service, through love, through right knowledge. So atmavan, always be established. And remember, it is a slow process, and we have to keep doing our duties to purify the mind. Do not expect any overnight change, but our job is to put the effort. Rest is in His hand. So you surrender and say, Bhagavan, rest is you. I have done the best I can. And then it becomes His responsibility to come and take us. It's a very, very beautiful verse. I've really enjoyed talking about it. There are so many beautiful ideas. So anybody has any questions, comments?
So, like, whole day we are finding all three goals,
right?
Always the mood swings are there.
Yes.
So how the person is like decide they are rajas, they are tamas, like sattva?
I think we ourselves know. First of all, we ourselves know who we are. Or you can ask somebody who spends a lot of time with you, you know, a spouse or a good friend or somebody. And they can tell you that, you know, you are too lazy, or you are too overactive, or you are, you know, and ultimately you know yourself, you know, is my mind dull, or is my mind agitated, or is my mind peaceful? See, tamasic is dull, rajas is agitation, and sattva is peaceful. So if predominantly my mind is peaceful, even while I'm working, then such a person is said to be in sattva. But if I'm working, I get very agitated, get very upset, get angry, fight with people, then that is rajas. And tamas is don't care. I just don't care what happens. So I don't think most of us here are predominantly rajasic, or all of us, I would say. Well, most of the time we spend in rajas, in working. So the goal of life is to increase sattva in my life through right knowledge, and change my vision. Do the same work, but instead of doing it just for earning money, like if somebody is told, you know, you stay home and your paycheck will come every 2 weeks without working, how many of us will go to work? Right? If somebody says every 2 weeks you'll get a paycheck, that is tamas. Rajas says he'll go and fight for every penny. If he's in his paycheck, there is $2 less, he'll go and fight. Sattva is he works for, he knows that the paycheck will come, but my purpose of work is not the paycheck. My purpose of work is to serve. So even I may be a receptionist in an office, but if I'm a sattvic person, I'll greet everybody with a smile. Even if somebody shouts at me, I will respond peacefully. Yes, sir, how can we, no, what can I, suppose the doctor is running late or something. Patients get very upset. And so it's a job of the receptionist, you know, peacefully explain, you know, there is a problem. And then even if somebody is agitated or shouting, try to calm that person. But if she herself is rajasic, agitated, then when that person shouts, she shouts back, then the situation gets aggravated. So whatever job I am doing, I may be a housewife, I may be cleaning the dishes, but the Lord is in my children, you know, and that's for them I'm cooking, for them I'm cleaning. The Lord resides in this house. Krishna is in my house. So when I'm vacuuming, then I don't say, why do I have to vacuum? Nobody else does. Why do I have to do the dishes? No, I'm doing them for the Lord. So every activity can be made sattvic. And as I've said before you go to bed, remember the Lord, chant his name. When you lie down, wake up in the morning, and don't get out of bed till at least you have chanted his name 11 times or 15 or 21 times. So constant remembrance of the Lord and working for the Lord is sattva. So it has to be a conscious effort. The same work can be tamasic, rajasic, or sattvic. It's up to us. That's a good question. Thank you. Yeah, we are all a mixture of the three. Yes.
You know, sometimes I think that with the wars and everything that's going on, and as people who are aggressive and they are just sort of taking over, and I just fear, I guess, that the rest of the people are just going to be wiped out.
Right.
And is that a false fear?
No, I think the main thing I have to understand, I am not the manager of this world. I didn't create the world. I don't run it. There is somebody else who created. Let him worry about what's going to happen to the earth. All I can do is do my part. And as long as he's fine with what I'm doing, whatever is happening to the world, let it happen. Also, with the internet, things get magnified. You know, somebody shoots somebody in Paris. In the olden days, it used to take days for the news to come or the next day's newspaper. Now, within 30 seconds, they'll show the video of this. So it appears that things are worse. The wars have always been there. Second World War, First World War, Korean War, Vietnam War. So wars have been there. Conflicts have always been there. It's the internet and the TV that magnifies it. Even in Krishna's time, there was the war of Mahabharata, you know, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And the entire India, all the kings either were on one side or the other. So wars have always been there. Ramchand, when God was there, when Christ was there were so many problems. So problems have always been there. It appears worse because of TV. And also they say that there are four yugas. There is the Sato Yuga, then Treta and Dwapar, and then Kali Yuga. Yeah. So there are four yugas. So right now we are in Kali Yuga, which is the worst time. But then after Kali Yuga, Satyuga starts again. So the good times will come. And whether they come or not, whatever time I am, let me do my part. That's all. As long as he's fine with what I'm doing and I'm fine with what I'm doing, let the people, whatever they do, they will pay for their consequences. See, nothing escapes. If somebody shoots somebody or tortures somebody or child molesters or rapists, nobody escapes. So let him worry about it. Teri duniya tu samal. You know, it's your word, you take care of it. I'll do what I can. With that attitude, I think you become more peaceful. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah, Hari Om.